Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Good morning, everyone, on a chilly morning here in New York, but the financial winds are warm, at least coming from Wall Street. A roar by the markets is either a sign of spring or reaction to a market plan to save the banks unveiled by the Obama administration, a plan intended to evoke, what do we call it?
The plan was a detailed, smart plan to move us out of this economic doldrum that we're in.
I think this plan's going to take off.
I have complete confidence.
Confidence, that things will get better.
Confidence is 90% of this game.
In fact, confidence is 110% of this game. That little montage about confidence is certainly the theme that everyone is looking for this morning, including our guests, Kelly Evans, economics reporter for the Wall Street Journal here in the studio. Kelly, good morning.
Good morning.
And Juliana Liu, BBC Asia business reporter in Singapore. Juliana, thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
First of all, let's just see if Asia continued the rally. 7% was what we had here on Wall Street, both in the S&P and the Dow Jones Industrial Average. What happened in Asia?
Well, Asia did continue the rally, but it wasn't quite to the standards of Wall Street. Now, two of Asia's biggest bourses, the Nikkei and Hang Seng, closed in Hong Kong not too long ago. They both closed 3.33% higher. Now, these are about 10-week highs, although most of the fund managers I've talked to today say that it is more because it is spring and we are due for a rally rather than this plan.
So, and we're asking everyone for signs of spring or signs of economic, resurgence, I guess we would call it. Juliana, your report there suggests that there is wariness around the world at looking at these Wall Street numbers. Kelly, how do we distinguish between volatility on the uptick yesterday versus some real confidence in the plan that was outlined by Timothy Geithner yesterday? And I want to get into the details of that in a moment.
Sure. Well, I think if you look at the markets and confidence, what we saw was more their reaction to confidence in the fall. When Geithner was first named as Treasury Secretary, remember, there was a huge rally. They thought it was a very good sign. But then they got sort of past the sign phase to the, okay, now we want a real solution. And that's why when he sort of failed to be very specific earlier in the last couple of weeks with the plan, that the markets really tanked on that. So I would say their reaction yesterday is more to the specifics, but the fact that the rally was so big and so huge, I mean, we're used to seeing these kind of moves on the downside. So to see it on the upside, I think is sort of reflects the kind of environment we're in now where people are sort of saying, well, wait a minute, geez, you know, I should have gotten in when the Dow was at 6,300. Look at it now.
Well, in fact, editorially, we wanted to ignore the market numbers yesterday, thinking that any reaction would just be noise as opposed to a real signal. But 7% suddenly makes us look at that again. And I guess the question is, in this plan announced yesterday, it's sort of a plan C. We've had a couple of versions of what's going to bail out the banks. It appears that it's the combination of public money in the form of FDIC funds and Treasury funds from the TARP, plus an estimate that they can raise perhaps as much as $330 billion from private sources to pull so-called questionable toxic assets off the books of the banks and get them to lend again. First of all, Kelly, that's a high bar, $300 billion of private money. And Juliana, when we come to you, how are Asian markets viewing that private sector money? Because a lot of it's going to be coming from Asia. First, Kelly.
Yeah, well, you just look at what investors are saying, and it's less. What's curious about this is the structure that this model is based on, which is that you take a certain amount of money, public and private, and leverage it to buy a lot of assets and clear them off these banks' balance sheets. There's sort of a wide gap between what investors are likely to pay for these assets and what these banks are going to want to sell them for. So we still haven't really figured out their true price. We don't know if it's just a matter of more money and more confidence and more lending to get these things cleared off the books at a reasonable number of cents on the dollar, or if they're sort of going to be these undervalued assets forever.
Juliana, is the private money going to lead here? Is Asian private money in these sorts of investments going to ultimately set the price for these questionable assets, do you think?
John, I have to add that Asia is very skeptical about this plan. I mean, you know, these are toxic assets. They may lose some of their value if the recession deepens. I mean, there are a number of reasons why people here are not clear enough about the details to be really able to say. But also, don't forget, Asia, specifically, you know, being based in Singapore, there are two government funds that have lost billions of dollars, tens of billions of dollars in the last 6 months. Now, these are reserves, people's money that they've been saving for 40 years here in Singapore, at least. China also has a lot of money. That money hasn't been building for as long as it has here in Singapore. But there's a lot of skepticism among governments and funds.
Skepticism and pain from losses. But I'm wondering, Kelly, if this is sort of the only game in town, and if this investment spread, if this opportunity that the Treasury is offering is kind of the only place to really find refuge from all the volatility in the market, are they going to benefit anyway, regardless of the skepticism?
Well, I also think this is just one cog in this sort of overhaul of the financial system, because, again, you have the Federal Reserve doing its part to inject, you know, hundreds of billions, $1 trillion into the economy to get things moving. And, you know, but there, it isn't just at this point about the banks and about the financial markets. We are seeing some signals from the broader economy that things that consumers, that everyday Americans are beginning to get more hopeful as well. Retail sales in January and February were above expectations. Yesterday, we saw that home sales had their biggest one-month gain in 5 years.
But that's a blip, don't you think?
It is a blip. But you know what? I'm so used. I cover this stuff every day, and I spent so much of January and February watching the things get worse and worse and worse. As fourth quarter data rolled in, that just to see a stabilization or a pop to me is everything.
Well, and you know, it is the case that for the first time, my wife and I actually this weekend looked at the sales. We actually went out and did some shopping, which we hadn't done for probably 4 or 5 months. So,
absolutely.
You know, if I'm any sort of an indicator, I'm a sign of spring myself. So, Juliana, if the Fed and the Treasury cannot raise $300 billion in private sector money to support this plan, does that say to the Asian markets, you can't do it, you can't get over the bar?
Yeah, it does. I have to add that for me, being based in Southeast Asia, I'm not really seeing any signs of spring at all. These are numbers that you and Kelly are talking about. But for workers here, I mean, I spent yesterday in Malaysia, where tens of millions of Bangladeshi workers basically pay years of money that they make just to be able to get a job, you know, in a relatively richer country like Malaysia. And these guys are being abandoned by the people who brought them over, because they simply are no jobs for them to do. So I'm really not seeing, you know, any of these signs of optimism being actually translated into more jobs for people, you know, half a world away.
A great point. I mean, in fact, we do focus on these numbers at our peril. It is an up-down kind of a volatility game. Kelly?
I will just say, though, that the labor market is one of the last areas that recovers in any downturn, in any recession. And if you look at the last couple in the U.S., it took 12 to 18 months for unemployment to fall back to its levels before the recession. So what we're talking about, again, agreed, isn't saying that, oh my gosh, look, people, the labor market's fantastic and you can go get a great job tomorrow. But what we are saying is that if we're looking for signs of progression, if we're looking for signs that the depths of this recession are sort of moving along, I would say I will happily take these signs compared to some of the numbers that we've seen, you know, sort of more in the fall and earlier this year.
Well, let's pull the recession issue out of it for a moment. Does this save the banks, Kelly? And then Juliana, we'll let you get the last word here.
The plan for these banks right now is absolutely what the markets were looking for. I think that alone will do as much for confidence and help the economy over the next couple months as anything right now.
Juliana?
Well, the fund managers here in Hong Kong and in Singapore say that this is a classic bear market rally, that in the last 2 months or so we've smashed through so many levels on the low side that it's simply time for a rally. And you can see that in Asia, you know, it was the markets were at maximum going 3.5%, 3.3% higher. And we're not expecting another massive rally tomorrow. So on the market side, I think this rally is expected to fizzle.
And indeed, the futures are suggesting that there's going to be some profit taking this morning. All right, so forget the numbers, you guys. What's your favorite sign of spring, Juliana?
Oh, well, in the tropics,
yeah,
there actually isn't a spring.
So you're safe. Kelly, how about you?
I was going to say, here in New York, I'll just take the sun and temperatures that aren't 40 and windy.
Yeah, well, we've got wind and very cold temperatures today. Tell us your, first of all, Kelly Evans, thanks so much, economics reporter for the Wall Street Journal here in the studio, and Juliana Liu, BBC Asia business reporter in Singapore. Juliana, thanks so much.
Thank you.
We will look for profit-taking this morning when Wall Street opens, but we want to hear from you. What is your sign of spring, either in the economy or in the weather? Whether it's too cold for you this morning, it is spring. Show us the sign of spring that you favor. Is it dogwood blossoms? Is it crocuses? Is it is it me talking about spring? Hopefully not. 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org.